Exodus 34 and verse 5 through 8. This is the fourth in the series of God describing Himself to us in this year. We've been looking at how to know God better. Verse 5, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation.' And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped." Let's pray. Father, help me as I speak to your people today. Strengthen us through the word and equip us for what we're going to face this coming week. Give us what we need today, Father. And if there's someone without Christ, we pray that they would see their need, understand your great love for them and the provision of salvation in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we pray for help in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked at this previously, how God is merciful. He described Himself as merciful, first of all. And He is abundant in mercy. He has pity and compassion on us as sinners. Jesus looked at the multitude of the Jewish people, and He had compassion upon them because they were like sheep that were scattered abroad without a shepherd. And that's the way people are if they don't know Christ as their Savior. The Bible pictures us as sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. And the Scripture is clear that the characteristics of sheep are the characteristics of people. And without Christ, we're lost. Jesus had mercy. In mercy, He withholds His judgment that we rightly deserve. But in mercy, He can withhold it because of the substitutionary death that Christ died on Calvary's cross. Secondly, He said He is gracious. He gives us the gift of salvation by grace. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift from God is eternal life through Christ. God gives it to us graciously. We don't deserve it. It's not something that we earn. Then He said He is long-suffering. God is not short-tempered like mankind. He's not fits of anger and outbursts of temper are not characteristic of God. God's wrath waxes hot when men sin continually. But God in grace and mercy withholds His judgment. He will one day pour out His wrath on the guilty. But His long-suffering has allowed man to be saved all these years, waiting for that day. But man is warned, the day of the Lord will come. And it'll come as a thief in the night. All of the judgments that are found in Revelation 6 through 19, if you read those afresh, they are a reminder of the horrific things that will happen upon this earth one day in what is called the tribulation period. And God will pour out His wrath upon the earth in that day, and it'll come upon an unsuspecting world. Therefore, man is taught to be ready, to watch, to be looking for the coming of Christ. As believers, we should not only be looking for Jesus to come, expectant of His coming, we should be longing for His coming to deliver us from this present evil world in which we live. Now today we look at the fact that God is abundant in goodness and truth. The word abundant comes from a small Hebrew word. It means enough. It means exceedingly full. It can reference the leader, the captain, the elder. It's used of God in this place that He describes Himself as abundant in goodness and truth. It's used a second time in Jeremiah 51:13, abundant. There it refers to an unbeliever who will be judged, the ruler of Babylon, "O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come in the measure of thy covetousness." Referring to being full or enough there, and the judgment will come upon those that are full of the treasures of the earth who do not know the Lord as their Savior. God is abundant in goodness and in truth. Goodness comes from the word good. And the word good is used many, many times in the Bible. It's used in the book of Genesis on several occasions describing the creation, that God saw what He created and He said, it is good. In Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In Genesis 2 and verse number 18, God said one thing is not good. He said it is not good for man to be alone. And so He made a helpmeet to be with man. And He made woman or woman. Now the first time the word goodness is used is found in Exodus 18 and verse 8 through 12. Y'all know who Jethro was. Jethro was Moses' father-in-law. His last name was not Bodine. That's where the name comes from in the Bible. Jethro was the father-in-law to Moses. He was a priest of an area that he lived in. But he learned to know who the true God is. In Exodus 18, he said about Moses and all that Moses told him God had done for them in delivering them from Egypt. He said his father-in-law rejoiced at all the goodness of God to Israel. And God has been good to Israel, and God has been good to the United States of America. To be good, the widest sense of the word when it describes God's goodness. It means beautiful and favor and pleasant. Another word for goodness is used when it's describing man, and there it means kindness or favor. In Exodus 33 and verse number 19, we find the goodness of God passed by Moses. When Moses wanted to see the glory of God, God said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock and I'll shadow you with my hand so that I won't destroy you with my brilliance. And he allowed his goodness to pass by Moses. That is the intrinsicness of who God is. God is good. And he is good to those who love him. And he is good to all the world in withholding his wrath and warning them there's coming a day of judgment and giving them an opportunity to be saved. When Solomon finished the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and offered his great prayer to God on the dedication of the temple, and you know in verse 14 that's where the reply from God, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, the verse we often use for revival meetings comes from that passage and from that setting. Well, in that same context, in verse number 10, Solomon sent the people away after a seven-day feast. And the Bible says that they went away glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and Solomon and to Israel, his people. So Israel had an idea about the goodness of God. They had some understanding. They saw the goodness of God in action. They were the recipients of the goodness of God upon them. And so they had some understanding about the goodness of God. After the temple was rebuilt under Zerubbabel and Ezra, instituting the teaching for the priests, and then Nehemiah rebuilt the wall around the city, they gathered in the book of Nehemiah chapter 1 for a great celebration unto God. And there the Levites confessed how God had been abundant in goodness to Israel. But Israel had failed God. They delighted themselves in the great goodness of the Lord. Nevertheless, chapter 9 verse 26, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs and slew the prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. I want to say to you, friends, we ought to all read that passage of Scripture and think about the United States of America when we do. And we ought to pray for the forgiveness of God upon our nation, because our nation, like Israel in that day, has seen and rejoiced in the goodness of God, and yet we have turned our backs upon His law, and we have failed to obey Him. And we have become disobedient and rebelled against the Lord. Listen to me. Have we turned our backs against the law of God? Our government has made us take down the Ten Commandments in any building that has anything to do with the government that they have say-so over. They made us take down acknowledgments and recognitions of the cross of Christ. And there's an appeal to try to get us to remove the crosses from Arlington Cemetery even. They've stopped prayer in public places. You can't have a town council meeting where you need the power of God. You can't have a public prayer and pray in Jesus' name because of the law today of the land. Our nation has forgotten God. They've turned their back on the law of God. They rejoice in the goodness of God to this nation, but they have become completely disobedient, just as Israel did in that day. We need some Levites to stand up today and proclaim that to our nation and call them to repentance. The New Testament speaks about the goodness of God. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 2. When Paul wrote to Rome, in Romans chapter 2, he talks about the judgment of God in this chapter of Scripture. The Jews sat in judgment upon the Gentiles in chapter 2 verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. He said the Jews were guilty of the same sins they were judging the Gentile nations for. Verse 2, but we're sure the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? That's a question. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Man cannot judge the salvation of another man. We are given discernment to see and judge right from wrong. And we can see the fruit of men and know if their word is true or false. But we can't see the heart of man. We see the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. We can't see another person's heart. We can't know if they are a believer or not. Certainly God knows. And His judgment will be true. We are given discernment to know right from wrong. We are not able to judge a heart, but the Word of God is able to judge the heart of man. If the Word of God says a believer is not to do these things, then that's God's judgment upon men and not our judgment. The principles of God's judgment I outlined in Romans chapter 2 in a course I taught in seminary on the principles of God's judgment and the certainty of God's judgment. And looked at the fact in verse number 2, God's judgment will be absolutely impartial according to truth. You know, I like you, so I'd let you off if you're guilty of something wrong. Or if you told me you didn't do it, I'd take your word because you're my friend and I like you. God's judgment won't be that way. God knows the truth from the error, and God's judgment will be absolutely according to truth. It'll be impartial. It won't be based on friendships. It won't be based on celebrityism. It won't be based on popularity. It'll be based on truth according to the Word of God. It will be impossible for men to escape the judgment of God in verse number 3. In verse 4, God's goodness leads us to repentance. Sinful man can see the goodness of God in what He has provided in salvation. And he can see the goodness of God through us because we're to let our good works be shown to the world around us that they might glorify our Father which is in heaven. The good works we do. You got two or three tables in the fellowship hall back there filled with your good works. Something that's being donated to an orphanage for their school to train their children this coming school year. Needs that they have. We support them in our mission giving. And we are carrying these supplies. Sadly, of the 100-something churches that send support to the orphanage and the home there, there are not many of them that do this. They tell Pete and them when they bring the supplies, there are just not very many that respond to the request for help. And they quite often have to buy the things, you know, out of the support that they desperately need to keep the home running. and you have done this as a good work. It's a good work. People see an orphanage, they know that's a good work. The day may come where they would have that need, or they have some pity or compassion upon those who have that need. And people see our good works, and they can know that it is God who's behind that. We didn't invent that. God did. And He deserves the praise, honor, and glory. He has provided redemption for man in His goodness and His long-suffering to us. God has been sacrificially giving to us. And it's important then that we respond in kind and let the goodness of God work through us. But the world today, I ask the question of the world today, will we harden our hearts and be unrepentant when we see the goodness of God? Sadly, many men today do that. They reject the goodness of God. They reject the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. They reject the good works that we do. And their heart is unrepentant. The Bible said it is the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. Some will wait as God's wrath is stored up, and the day will come when the judgment of God will fall. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7. We'll read a portion of this chapter, chapter 7 through verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God will judge the wicked, but believers are counted by God worthy of the calling and the fulfillment of His power, that with His good pleasure, the work of faith, that Christ will be glorified because He saved us by His grace and kept us by His power, and we are His people who believe in Him, and it glorifies the Lord in that day. But the unbelievers will be judged. God's wrath will be cast upon them. And so we warn men today of the judgment of God. We warn men today not to live as they please. We warn men today they'll give an account unto God one day. And Jesus Christ has saved us. It's important our testimony is seen before the world as real, and that we are Christian in how we live. Thirdly and finally today, God's goodness is a moral attribute of God. Therefore, the fruit of the Spirit reveals that the goodness of God can be worked through the believer's life. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit living in a believer, God's goodness can be revealed through us as the believers of Christ. This fruit being revealed through us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will be demonstrated through our life. God in His goodness has provided redemption for us, and now we're to walk with Him and let Him produce through us His moral attributes through our life. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians 5:3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What is acceptable to the Lord? Goodness and righteousness and truth. And that's to be produced through our lives as we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. Now, are we perfect at it? Of course not. We struggle with it all the time. We battle with the flesh. As long as we're a human being, we still got a body of flesh, and we still have a struggle to live for God, serve God, to be obedient to God. But when we get our heart right with the Lord, we know about the goodness of God to us, His mercy to us, His grace to us, His long-suffering to us. And we know we have a responsibility to demonstrate that in the life we live. It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. When we react in the right way, with mercy and grace and long-suffering and goodness, we are godly in our morals and our character, and that will glorify God. And we give the world a visual example of the fact that God is real. He can change lives. He has the power to help us serve Him and live for Him and make us worthy of His calling. Our society today, my friends, is in bad shape. It needs godly people in leadership. Needs people who love God and can serve God and live for God, because we don't know how much time there is left. With all that's going on in the world today, the coming of the Lord seems very close and very dear to believers to deliver us from this present evil world in which we live. People need to see the goodness of God. This world's a beat up place. People are hurting. They might live in nice homes and have a good job and have money in the bank, but their hearts are not right with God. They're empty. They're searching. I think about the Hollywood celebrities from time to time when they're mentioned in the news media. And I think about they've got money, they've got power, they've got influence, they've got position. But if they don't have Christ, they are empty and they're searching in drugs and alcohol and illicit relationships and all these things, because there's something missing in their life they don't have. And you and I, who have Christ in our lives, need to be the witness and the testimony to them. I've always been a little in awe with magic. I don't believe in dark magic, demonic stuff. I'm talking about tricking you with cards and stuff like that. That's funny to me. I like it. I like seeing them make people disappear and try to figure out how they did it, and stuff like that. They got this new show on television with Penn and Teller, two somewhat famous magicians who do a lot of the Las Vegas acts. And it's bringing other magicians on to see if they can fool Penn and Teller or not. And if they can't fool them with their trick, then, they just get, you did a good job or whatever, but you didn't fool us. But a few people fool them. They can't figure out how they did the trick, And for magicians that are professionals, not to know how somebody else does a trick, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good accomplishment, And Penn makes it publicly known he's an atheist. When they had a young girl come up there and they were going to have her blindfolded, she thought she was going to be throwing knives at the guy, And they would put a blindfold and put a knife in her hand. It had a rope on it, and they would hold the rope, She would throw it and it would just come around. And then they would stick a knife in the wall and take the blindfold off. She'd see where the knife hit, and she thinks she's throwing these knives. And Penn's up there saying that this old atheist is looking a little concerned about this situation right now. I thought he needs to be real concerned. He needs to be real concerned. He's walking around gambling with his soul for all eternity so that he can brag about how smart he is and how much he doesn't believe there is a God. You let him get in the right circumstance, and you know what will happen to him? He'll cry out for God's help. when the pain of a heart attack hits him, when the brain aneurysm goes through him if he has time, when he's in such dire pain in a car accident, or when one of his own children lays on the bed almost near death, it'll might change his mind about something. But what he needs is somebody who can be a witness to him and tell him about the goodness of God that would lead him to repentance. Let's stand together. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's me. We may never have an opportunity to witness to a Hollywood movie star. They may or may not respond if you wrote them a letter. But there may be somebody who lives right down the street from you that's in the same shape. Somebody on your job, co-worker. You never know until you speak for Christ. Joy mentioned Saturday in the men's meeting that waiting for someone else at the airport to drive them back to school. He had a young girl there with her dad, and she was coming to school. He just assumed her dad, you know, brought her there for college, and she was a Christian. He was a Christian. And he told him all about the history of the school and the founder and things like that, you know. And the young girl said later her dad was still talking about, you know, the Bible and God and all these things. And Joey said, well, was your dad not a believer? She said, no, he was not a believer. And this began to open his eyes to some things and began to speak to his heart with some things. You never know when you come in contact with a stranger for a couple of minutes. You never know who you're talking to. And you never know what you say that might stick in their mind for a long time. It's important they see the goodness of God in us. And not, you know, our temper and the flesh. They can already see that. Usually in how we, are mad at the world about whatever's going on. They need to see the goodness of God. It'll lead them to repentance. Let's pray. Father, we ask you help in this invitation. Use it for your own honor and glory. Help us to be people that believe in the abundant goodness of God. Help us to be people that seek to demonstrate the goodness of God through us. And use this church for your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.